Do you wish to know the mind of the Lord? Do you wish to know how God thinks? All you have to do is read the scriptures. For God walked on this earth and he spoke to us. And this is how you know the mind of the Lord, from reading the scriptures and especially these beautiful parables, such as today on the Good Samaritan. Samaritans did not like the Jews. The Jews and Samaritans had been at a religious war with one another for many, many years. And so in this story, you have to consider how hard it would be for you to help and care for someone you do not really like. You do not naturally like them. They are someone of a race or of people that you just don't like. But our Lord uses this, and he often uses this type of example in Scripture, because he's always wanting to teach us that if you just help those or love those who love you, who are good to you, your reward's going to be very little. But if you love and help those who naturally you do not like, your reward is going to be great in heaven. Now, this story has been commentated on by countless people, and the fathers of the church all speak of it. Now, it's something you've heard, I'm sure, many times, over and over, and there's a lot of things about this story that are very significant for us. First of all, you'll notice the man is going from Jerusalem to Jericho. Jerusalem is the city of peace. The translation Jerusalem is vision of peace. And it represents heaven. That is, it represents the state of grace and that peace that God so wishes to give us, that we all wish to have, that we all are striving for. But the man is going from that peace to Jericho, which the translation of Jericho would be the moon, or the varying phases of the moon. That is, a changing world, the inconstancy of this world, and how things change, and how everyone's always looking for something new and different. So Jericho represents the world, but also, you might say, the occasions of sin, putting ourselves into situations that we shouldn't go into. And then, of course, the man meets up with robbers. And this is symbolic of us falling into sin, of the devil attacking us, the robbers, meaning the devil and his agents, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And they attack us and bring us down. They beat us and leave us half dead. And that's so true of what sin does to us. Think of how we are after we sin. We are half the person we were before. That is, we even hate ourselves. We're disgusted with the way we are. And this is what sin does to a soul. It robs us of that peace that we should normally have. And it brings us down to such a state that we are truly half dead. We're just not the person we were before. And also, of course, you can consider in this parable that the man leaving Jerusalem and going to Jericho is Adam, and that he left heaven in the state of grace, but he was robbed of that state of grace by the devil. And so mankind is wounded, is half dead now. I mean, think of all the things that happened just because of original sin. Our intellect is darkened now. We can't even put thoughts together very easily. We cannot easily see the truth. 6 billion people in the world, and the vast majority of them do not believe the truth. They do not believe the gospel. God came on this earth to teach us how to go to heaven, but the vast majority of people in this world do not care. How many people in this world really care about the truth? It's very, very few. And you see what happens because of this. We are so weak now from our intellects being darkened, and our wills are weakened by original sin. We're all prone now to doing that which is evil. And the priest and the Levite come by, but they're unable to help because the priest and the Levite represent the old law. And they could not repair for Adam's sin. But you can also see in this priest and Levite how many of us, we have to admit that that would be me. We would say, well, I'm unwilling to help others. I'm unwilling to put myself out. And so we pass by, unable to help. And then the Good Samaritan comes. And this Good Samaritan, who we are asked to imitate, is our Lord Jesus Christ. It's interesting that he chooses to portray himself as a Samaritan, which, as I said, the Jews did not like. And Jesus was everything that the world does not like. He was poor. He was very poor. He was from Galilee, Galileans. You know, they didn't like the people that came from Galilee. The Jews did not. They were considered low class. And he didn't go to the universities. He wasn't someone who was well known in the synagogues, in the teaching circles, in the well-known schools. He was taught at home. He was homeschooled. And we know what the world thinks of homeschoolers. So the world does not love what is not its own. And our Lord chose to portray himself as this. And yet, even though, naturally speaking, as I said, Samaritans did not like the Jews, our Lord portrays himself as a Samaritan who takes care of this Jewish man, who comes to him. And our Lord did come to first save the Jews, who had the true religion at the time. And so you can see how this gospel was so, this parable should have been so clear to the Jews. He comes to them and he pours on them, on the wounds of fallen mankind, oil and wine. The oil represents, according to the fathers of the church, the sacrament of confession. That is, he heals our wounds. Whenever you go to confession, you have your wounds healed. You are given a new chance. You are given new life. But he also gives us wine, which represents, of course, the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. Our eternal life given to our souls, the life of Christ. God enters into us when we receive Holy Communion. And think of how when you receive communion, you receive in that host the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, his body and his blood, his soul and his divinity. Our Lord is right with you. This is what the oil and wine is confession and Holy Communion, because these are the two sacraments that you can receive all the time, every day. The other sacraments you can only receive once. For the most part, I mean, obviously you could get extreme unction more than once, and I suppose you could get married more than once, but most of the sacraments we receive only once. And yet, he gives us these two precious gifts that you can receive even every day. And they are to give you life anew. And this is why mankind should never despair. You should never give up. Yes, we are wounded, half dead, but our Lord is there to take care of us. And he noticed how he places the poor beaten man on his own beast. And this is his humanity. Jesus Christ took on himself our humanity. And he put our sins, you might say, on his own back. And he carried us. He carried the weight of the world's sins on his own back. And he brought us to the inn, which, of course, is the church. Now, a lot of Protestants, they don't realize, but it's right here in this parable, it should be very clear, that our Lord could not be here always with us. And he says to the innkeeper, take care of him, and whatever more thou spendest, I on my way back will repay thee. Our Lord is coming back. And he is going to reward greatly those who have dedicated their lives to the service of the church, to take care of souls for him. That's why we need priests and nuns, because they care for the souls entrusted to the church. And our Lord says, I'm going to reward you on my way back. In this world, the nuns and priests, they don't receive much of a reward here on earth. A lot of people even despise them, but our Lord is pointing out that he will make up for anything that you have to spend, anything over and above that you spend of yourself. He's going to make up. So the two denarii that he gives the innkeeper are the two things that our Lord gave to his church. He gave them the power of orders, and he gave to the church the power of jurisdiction. The power of orders meaning that our Lord gave to his church the power to confect the sacraments, to act in his name. And jurisdiction is necessary to apply those laws, those orders. He who hears you hears me, our Lord said to his apostles. When he established the church on earth, he was making us to understand that we must listen to the church. If you do not listen to the church, you are not listening to our Lord. He who hears you hears me. He that despises you despises me. And he that despises me despises him that sent me. Our Lord demands that we hear and we listen to the innkeeper, that we listen to those he has placed in charge over us. The world does not like that. They do not want to hear that we are dependent, that we have to submit ourselves to laws. But the laws of the church, just like the laws of God and his Ten Commandments, are meant to help us and to care for us and to guide us to heaven. And if you break the laws of the church, you are going to be punished just as if you broke the law of God, because it's the same. He gave to his church the power to speak and to teach in his name. And you must obey the church. You must obey her laws. They are the same as God's laws to guide us to heaven. They are meant to help us. They're not hindering us in any way. When the church demands that we do penance, or we go to mass, that we have to do certain things, it's always to help us. The church is our innkeeper. Now, our Lord says at the end, go and do thou also in like manner. When he lived on earth, he lived, of course, as a man. He kept his divinity closed. He kept it hidden. He did not reveal himself to be God because he wished to live on this earth like one of us, to teach us how to live. That's why when you read the scriptures, you should never be confused. You should never misunderstand. So many people that have read the Bible, I'm amazed at how many people, even Catholics, do this. They read something like how Jesus prayed or how Jesus suffered and sweated in the Garden of Gethsemane. And they say, how can that be? He's God. He's God. How can he do that? Well, it's because he didn't live on this earth as God. He lived on this earth as a man. He kept his divinity closed. And the only time he used that divinity was to work miracles. He didn't reveal himself. Well, he did at the Transfiguration and a few other times by the miracles he worked. But for the most part, his divinity was completely hidden. And he lived on this earth as one of us, as a man. And that's why no one can ever say that they cannot imitate Jesus Christ. He was the perfect example for us. He was a true man. He lived on this earth as a man, and so we can indeed imitate him and follow his example. We can do the things that he did. And that's why he says to us, go and do thou also in like manner. If you only do good and give to those that love you, what reward shall you have? But if you do good to those who hate you and even persecute you, your reward will be very great in heaven. Our Lord has taught us this over and over again, that we are meant to imitate him and to do good to even those who persecute us, who are against us, who, naturally speaking, hate us. And that is most of this world. They are going to despise you for the way you are and the things that you represent and the things that you stand for. They're going to hate you for that. But you have to turn it around, and you have to love those that hate you. Most of us simply love those that love us, and we try to do good to our fellow traditional Catholics, and we're right to do that. But we have to go out of ourselves like the Good Samaritan and imitate Jesus Christ by helping others, by doing good to even those that hate us. And when you do that, you will have a great reward, and you'll be fulfilling what he asks you. This is the mind of God in today's gospel. This is what Jesus Christ, our Lord, would say to you today. Go and do thou also in like manner. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.